Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, John, no, that's old news. They don't want us to talk about that anymore. It's old news. When they thought that maybe he was a far-right extremist, maybe he had a Trump flag on a pickup, they were ready to make it a big story that was going to go on for days, weeks, if not months. But now that we found out that this guy who tried to start the home of the governor of Pennsylvania's house on fire, now that we found out he's just some wacko who got his house repossessed by the state, story's over, John. Story's over. They don't want to talk about that.
Oh, that's out of the news. And you immediately saw the Pennsylvania governor came out and was condemning all types of political violence when he must have thought this was some kind of political violence. But when you hear him say that speech, Shapiro, it falls on deaf ears because, buddy, you trying to preach now against political violence when you and your party have been all about this for the last 10 years. Did the Frankenstein monster rise up and is now chasing the doctor? Yeah, I hate to see that, you know.
Yeah, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul physically, violently assaulted, and then the mob outside the White House nearly got him and his wife. We saw they tried to light the church on fire across from the White House, 300 riots throughout 2020, but political violence. But you just showed me the photo. This guy is some wacko, and you had a whole bunch of problems. Thankfully, the Pennsylvania governor's family's safe and everything.
And was supposedly it was going to go in after the firebomb with a hammer and go after Shapiro. And I'm like, dude, what is it with these lefty loons and hammers? I mean, Paulie Pelosi is up there going, oh, he's having a PTSD moment here. Hammer.
Yeah, it's hammer. It's crazy. Hey, John Jackson in the house with us here on this Tuesday. We're taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. I just got a really funny message on our Montana Talks app that I'll share with you here in a second. But, John, another big story. So three Montana State University international students have now had their visas revoked, and the far left-wing ACLU is filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration. But here's what I find curious. They don't name these students in their lawsuit. It's John Roe and Jane Doe. One's from Iran, one's from Turkey. Why aren't they sharing their names? These are adult college students, not, you know, a bunch of third graders at Highlight Elementary.
I don't see how a court allows that. Like you said, these are adults. They are parties. They are parties to this. I've got a text into David Noble to see if he can answer this question. But here's the other thing. See, you only get to sue on rights. And it is not a right to have a visa or a green card or any of that. It is a privilege.
I also think it's amazing. Here comes the ACLU of Montana. Oh, a guy from Iran. They just fall over themselves to defend his, not rights, but privileges. Where were they during all that COVID BS to stand up for you, me, and the rest of us? Of course, nowhere to be found, right?
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. John, this is funny. Well, let's save the... let's go right to this one. So today is tax day. It's April 15th. Important reminder for people out there. Our friend David Noble, you mentioned David Noble's name. He shared this. Taxes are due. Make sure you don't forget to file all your illegal activities and your stolen property with the IRS. On the IRS website, it actually reminds people that they need to report any of their income from any of their illegal activities and also stolen property. If you've stolen anything, please report that on your tax return here, and make sure it's at the fair market value, John. So just friendly reminder for everybody out there on tax day.
David just texted me back on the subject before about these students being able, these adult students being able to file a lawsuit in court and not use their names. David agrees with me in that he does not see how they can do that. And he's interested to see what the judge will say in response to that.
Or even if they can, why? Why are they not including their names in this lawsuit?
That. You know
they
why.
Don't want to, like, what, they don't want us to know who these people actually are and maybe a little bit more of their background? So this is also interesting. So I mentioned this story about how, you know, four university students here in Montana have had their visas revoked. And I'm assuming there's got to be hundreds and hundreds, maybe over 1,000 international students in Montana. I know we used to have numbers like that. I don't know if they still are. So four had their visas revoked. And, of course, here goes the liberal media in a tailspin over this thing. But why doesn't the ACLU mention their names? How come these news outlets aren't asking them, why aren't you naming these individuals? But Mary in Helena just sent me a message, and there's a liberal website called the Daily Montanan. The headline, I'll read the headline for you here. Foreign students in Montana ask federal court to protect them from deportation. And then it says this, four students in the Montana university system have had their status revoked. Lawsuit says two students have no criminal convictions. Now, John, I'm not good at math because I went to the School of Journalism in college. But if there's four students who got their visas revoked, but only two of them have criminal or two of them do not have criminal convictions, that tells me two of them do.
Hold on. I got my fingers up here. Two of them have criminal. But see, and there's once again the false narrative of the fake news where they're trying to make you think that you have to have a criminal conviction before your visa can get stripped. No, you do not, because it is not a right. It is a privilege. And any kind of behavior you engage in that we don't like, we can take it away from you.
All right. Well, John, let's switch topics altogether because we got a caller on the phone line who I think wants to talk about the legislature in Helena, if I'm not mistaken here. But speaking of the legislature in Helena, you know, we've been pretty critical of the Democrats over the years, but a lot of us are pretty critical of the Republican-led legislature right now and saying, what the heck, guys? Income tax relief, property tax relief, judicial reform. What the heck is going on back there? Mike in Bozeman. This is a pretty funny message, if you ask me. Now, they've still got time to right the ship, but Mike in Bozeman said this, Montana Republicans campaign slogan, you can count on us. We won't destroy the state like the Democrats. We'll just do nothing. That was Mike in Bozeman.
That's the model of congressional Republicans in D.C. They're just modeling their behavior, yeah.
Hey, they got a judicial reform bill across the finish line, though, in the House, and they advanced Trump's one big beautiful bill, permanent tax relief, but that's a start, but a lot more that needs to be done, that's for sure.
No, huge, and that's going to be the tell right here coming up this summer, what they're able to do in reconciliation. Can they take out the Inflation Reduction Act and put in all of these DOGE cuts, or will it just be more of the same?
All right, let's go to Fred in the Flathead on the phone lines. Fred, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys, real quick, just back to the Indian-American Indian thing. Understanding the nature of man is the key to smashing the myth of the pop culture version of American Indians, dances with wolves, pop culture, we're all fallen humans prone to evil and greed. But moving on to taxes, state taxes, people say tax cuts are for the rich. It's really, in Montana, the tax cut would benefit the poor the most. And my point isn't to venerate California tax rates. They are high. It's more to motivate Montana legislatures. People talk about California high tax rates, but for lower income people, they are lower. So if you make between taxable income between $25,000 and $39,500, your rate is 4%, and Montana you'd be paying 4.7%. So point isn't to expand the progressive tax rates, but is to lower it for everybody, which will definitely benefit the poor the most.
But that's why
Montana does have simplified rates, but yeah. A cut will help the poor people the most.
But that's why I think, you know, I was actually just mentioning you and some of the great message. I was talking with somebody yesterday. I said, we get these great messages from Fred and the Flathead and the call every now and then, too. And you've seen what happened in California, you know, and you still fight fire back there. And so that's why you can come on to a show like this and say, guys, this is what they did in California. This is how it started. Don't fall for it here in Montana. And that's why I worry that even in the Republicans and the legislature are falling for a California style tax system. And it's like, guys, this is why we need, that's why I prefer the governor's approach here, across the board income tax relief, and not just, you know, the old class warfare game. That's what California did. Look at California now.
That's right. Those and just a modest cut in the rate for everybody would help lower income people that make taxable incomes under $40,000. It's a big amount for them, and you know, the state would then, you know, have a bigger cut from the higher income earners, but it would help the poor people the most. And you're right, don't fall for it. It's punitive.
They've got a budget surplus, across the board relief. It's just the easy answer. It should be the easy answer. I don't know why it's so hard in Helena right now. Fred, great to hear from you. We got a caller on the line from Billings. John Jackson in the house, taking your calls as well.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John just got big breaking news. There's a mountain lion on the loose at the Mormon Temple in Billings. Is that the word, John?
Yeah, I got a text here that apparently, yeah, this, you know, something that goes out, you know, for wildlife sightings, and they say, yeah, it's, I mean, and you, I mean, can't you see the temple from up here, Aaron? I mean,
it's, where's it at? It's over, I think the first interstate tower is blocking it right now, but no, I've heard of, there's a lot of cougars out there by the country club, but, you know, mountain lions are a little more rare.
Cougars, mountain lions, are we talking about the housewife cougar, yeah, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, here? I don't know, maybe it's a new reality show going on out there on the west end of Billings as we speak right now.
The cougars of the Mormon temple.
there is like a Mormon housewives like reality show. Isn't there something on TV? I haven't watched it, obviously.
Caden came busting in here when we were talking about that. I thought he was going to come here and say, you better not stop talking about my boys.
Stop talking about reality shows. Oh, man. What were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Back to the legislature, John. So no more talk of cougars and mountain lions.
Welcome back to NPR.
Put your nerd voice back on.
Welcome back.
Speaking of nerds, I got a nice note from Tim and Savage. So, yeah, I was joking. You know, I went to the University of Montana's School of Journalism. So, you know, math may not be my thing. But, yeah, when they're reporting that only two of these international students that had their visas revoked that two of them do not have criminal convictions, that tells me that two of them do. And Tim and Savage, you know, I think he's got like a PhD. I think he's a Dr. Tharp. But he said this. He says, I took calculus from MSU, and I can confirm 4 minus 2 is indeed 2. So we've got confirmation, John.
Listen, you watch. Let's take a bet right here. They will get this visa thing with these students in front of some liberal judge here in Montana. They're going to have to take it federal because, you know, the visas are, you know, come out of the federal government. And this federal judge will come out and put an injunction on it. And see, and, you know, 20, 30 years ago, not any judge anywhere would do anything like that because they know it's ridiculous on its face. It says right there in the law how your visa can get taken from you, and it is completely subjective to what the government defines as your bad conduct. I mean, it's,
yeah, the case got us. I skimmed the complaint from the ACLU, and it did get assigned to the Butte District for the federal court. And I think that's where this far left Judge Christensen is hanging his hat now. So I would not be surprised if he rules against the Trump administration and in support of the guy from Iran. Would not surprise me one bit. Now, he would rule against you in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. Right, but guy from Iran, he's got a better shot than you everyday Montanan does.
It's like they used to say, like, say, for us going overseas. When you were overseas, if they decided they didn't want you anymore, no, you're out, that was what they call unbeefable. It's ungrievable because going over there is a privilege, not a right. So they can just say, we don't want you anymore. Go home. It's the same thing here. And that's another thing about these judges. 20, 30 years ago, see, judges lived on their reputations for not having their rulings overturned. That was their professional reputations. Liberal, Democrat, liberal, Republican, didn't matter. Nowadays, they just don't care. It's all about being a radical warrior for the left. And if they get overturned, so what? No, they still get all their cocktails at the party. So,
all right, let's go next to Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Tim, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. So, talking about the four students, and you said 2 + 2 = 4 or 4 - 2 = 2. That's racist. That's racist. So, you can't go by that. But you also said this morning you were talking about the guy. Why do these guys use hammers? They're true believers, man. They are so anti-gun, they're going to bring a hammer to a gunfight. You know, that guy that attacked Pelosi and the guy that was going to attack the governor of Pennsylvania. And lastly, but not leastly, two quotes by Dan Bongino that I think are very poignant today. Tax evasion is a federal crime. Tax avoidance is the national pastime. And also, every Democrat is a liberal. Not every Republican is a conservative. So we need to remember that when we're talking about our legislature, because I think we've got a lot of left-leaning, quote-unquote, Republicans want to be conservatives, want to get elected so they would say whatever they have to say, get elected in the red, deep red, turning blood red state of Montana. And they're a bunch of phonies and creeps, and they need to be primaried, they need to be recalled, and they need to be made to where they are never on a ballot again.
Well, and John, you know, Tim, thanks for the call. John, you and I were talking about this earlier, and I wonder, you know, we're getting down to only a couple weeks or so left of the Montana legislature. None of these guys are doing the governor any favors right now when it comes to some of his key priorities, like across-the-board income tax relief, property tax relief, judicial reform. The governor did highlight that in his State of the State address. In fact, he called out those liberal Supreme Court justices while they were sitting right in the front row, and None of these legislators are doing him any favors right now. So I wonder, I know a lot of governors, they, you know, it's better to hang back, not get down into the weeds, and because legislators, you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. They don't want you to get involved, but then they complain if you aren't involved. But it might be the time to get involved and, you know, put the hammer down, start issuing some veto threats, et cetera, because I just think there's going to be heck to pay if they don't get this, don't get some of those key things done.
Well, here's an uncomfortable truth for everybody. Democrats and Republicans as a whole have one single thing in common. That is, they are addicted to your tax money, and none of them ever want to cut your taxes or give any of your money back to you ever. Now, true enough, do they want to spend it on different things? Yeah, but they all want more of your money all the time. And you've got a percentage of, say, of your Republicans out here. Of course, all of them preach that they want limited government and limited taxes and all this stuff. But you, I mean, what's the percentage? 3%, 2% of them that actually vote that way on a consistent basis. And they will only do it if they're forced to, if they're pressured, if they're muscled into doing it. That's the only way they will.
All right, let's see. Let's jump back into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. We've got, who did we have next up? Joe in Wolf Point, listening to KVCK. Joe, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Yeah, Aaron, I was just wondering if you or John, either one, had ever have heard anything lately on the Epstein list. I had always wondered why Pam Bondi gave him 2 weeks to get that list to her when she should have gave him 2 hours. Just wondering if the powers that be maybe kind of shut her down a little bit, and I'll just take your answer off the phone. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, you know, to use another great Dan Bongino quote about cutesy time being over, when's cutesy time going to be over? Dan Bongino must be hearing a lot of these questions because he put a post out on X yesterday. He's now the deputy director of the FBI, and he was kind of pleading with people, hey, guys, just because you don't see things happening doesn't mean they're not happening. He made it sound like there's a lot of things that are in the works behind the scenes right now, but the natives are getting restless. That's for sure, John.
And Dan Bongino is one of those few guys out there that I would give that space to, give that slack to. When he says a thing like that, I do believe him after listening to him for however many years. And I know he's also not a government stooge. He's not a member of the Borg. He's an outside guy. But to your guy about the Epstein list. See, here's, like we said, uncomfortable truths. Here's an uncomfortable truth, guys. That stuff was seized. That stuff that was seized by the FBI when they raided Epstein's places. See, if they're not going to charge the people that are, say, in those documents and on those lists, they can't release that stuff to the public. Right, that's defamation, because you're slandering somebody out there that hasn't ever been charged with a crime, and it's illegal. The government would get sued, and they would lose behind that. You can't do it. As much as you'd like to see that list, yeah, I mean, the government should be out here trying to charge some of these people that were participating in this child rape and child trafficking and all this stuff, and then you could release the list on that. But until they do, you can't.
All right, let's see. Next up, let's go to Alan in the Paradise Valley. And if I hope it's who I'm thinking it is, because I think he's a former lawmaker. Yeah, talking about the state legislature and more. Alan, good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, what's going on?
Alan, I was the chairman of House Tax and chairman of the Interim Revenue Committee. And the rule there was, if you put the revenue very high, they all want to spend all the money. And that's what happened this time.
Mm-hmm.
The budget just blowed out of the water. I mean, higher than the governor's budget. And I've been calling a few of those boys up there that I know pretty well and say, hey, property taxes better happen because it's going to crush y'all. And I don't know that I'm being heard or whether anybody else is being heard. So it gets a little interesting.
Yeah, no, that's it's like, unfortunately, what did tax cuts do? The last session and the session before, it brought in more revenue. Now they've got this big surplus, and they've got all these different ways that they all want to go spend it. And yeah, now they're proposing to spend even more than what the governor spent. And that's where I agree. I'm glad to see, like, the Freedom Caucus, you know, calling out the spending in Helena. But what I also want to hear is what's the plan that people can support? That, what, you know, has anybody put together a bill or a spending plan that lowers spending or keeps it a little bit more in line with population and inflation growth, right? And it doesn't seem it doesn't seem like anybody has the other plan. Everybody's got their critiques, but nobody's got their other plan.
Well, I see it, you know, and, you know, I'm going to knock him right in the head. Lou Jones likes spending money, and he likes it in his pocket, too. And, you know, it's easy when you have plenty of money. When you don't have a lot of money, then you got to work with people. And so they're just running rampant. And, you know, budget director used to be a conservative. I mean, my first session's up there, he was as tight a conservative guy I ever met. Then he flipped partway through. So it started bothering me quite a little bit. It's hard. And I want to give kudos to John S. because he's working hard. He said, you know, we don't have a majority. We have 23. And we don't have those other nine. We do not have a majority. And people are not understanding that.
And yet, no income tax relief, no property tax relief. Hold that thought.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Well, as we move along the spring of 2025, producers are hard at it out in the field getting the spring crops planted. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey joins us and shares more on the 10-state region of the Great Plains and Rocky Mountain West with some concerning very short to short topsoil moisture.
Much of the remainder of the country is actually dealing with some dryness still at this early stage of the 2025 season. Specifically, the 10-state area that comprises the Rockies and the Great Plains, that is from New Mexico and Texas, extending northward through the Dakotas and Montana. And in that area, which includes a lot of our hard red winter wheat areas and some important pasture land and rangeland, we still see significant topsoil moisture shortages starting the year. The range within that area goes from a low of 36% very short to short in Colorado, all the way up to 95% very short to short in New Mexico. In fact, there's only a handful of states, Colorado being the only one below 40% in that entire area. In addition to New Mexico, we have South Dakota coming in at 70% very short to short, Wyoming at 62%. Some of that dryness extends into the southwest, the southern Great Basin, and so that is really kind of our core drought concern heading into the spring.
While it is beneficial right now, as many producers are trying to get their spring crops seeded, we're also crossing our fingers for more moisture in the coming weeks. I'm Lane Nordlund.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, John Jackson in the house. We were too busy yapping during the break there. Almost forgot to put the headsets back on, but John, it was fun. I caught up with that was Alan Redfield, former lawmaker out of the Paradise Valley there, more during the break. And he said, oh, man, he said, yeah, I'd much rather be out here herding these cows than herding, you know, basically people, herding the cats back in Helena during the legislature. And so he was just expressing more of his frustration with what's going on in Helena right now. And, you know, one of the things is like, okay, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges with the legislature right now is you got to go back to what Ronald Reagan said. And I think it was a sign that he had on his desk in the Oval Office. President Reagan had a sign that said, imagine what you can accomplish if you don't mind who gets the credit. And I think some of what you're probably seeing right now is, well, I'm not going to vote for that bill because one of the nine is the sponsor of that legislation. So it might be the better income tax bill, but one of the nine that's been, you know, voting with the Democrats and voting against the rest of their caucus, not going to support his bill, even if it is the better income tax bill. We'll put somebody else's name on it then and just pass it. Who cares, right? But then, and then likewise, some of the nine aren't voting, may not be voting for stuff because it's got one of the other guys' names on it. And it's like, okay, nobody's really going to remember who gets the credit for a certain bill. But you all will take the fall if none of this stuff gets done. And it's just like, it's crunch time, just make it happen. And then you can worry about who gets the credit for it afterwards, because you're all going to get the credit for it not happening.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this on your show for years about how the Montana is, and this is nationally too, but here in Montana, the state party has allowed for years these rhinos to not only stay within their midst, but flourish. They never get called out. They never get primary. They never get shunned. They never get expurgated. They're just allowed to walk around like nothing happened. Well, see, this is the end result of this now, where you have all these people collaborating in the House with Democrats, collaborating in the Senate with Democrats, and these people got to go. Next time, these people got to go.
My wife makes fun of me because whenever we go on road trips, the phrase that I'll use all the time, man, this is cool country. Hey, check it out. That's cool country out there. She's like, if I hear you say cool country, what? But man, this, we get to talk to people in some cool country here. We just heard from, you know, a rancher in Paradise Valley. Now we're taking you to Gold Creek. We got Ted in Gold Creek. Ted, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
You guys have no clue how good you have it here. I left Washington, the communist state of Washington, 3 years ago, and you're the polar opposite. Everybody laughs when I say that.
Oh, Washington plates are worse than California plates these days.
It's insane what they do. And their budget went from $34 billion to $78 billion in less than 10 years.
Wow.
And they have a lower population. So the reason I'm calling is the communist AOC and Bernie Sanders are going to be in Missoula. I spent 3 days trying to find out if the Republicans are going to do anything, a counter protest, whatever. Nobody answers a phone. Nobody answers emails. I can't get a hold of anybody. Called every senator's office in the state. They were all closed Friday. And I'm from Washington, so I can't remember what year it is. Hillary comes to Seattle to promote her universal health care. I believe it was her first visit. We shouted her down. Nobody could hear anything she said, and she was done. And what are the Democrats doing right now? Their only policy is to fight, fight, fight. Are the Republicans fighting? Because if you don't fight, communism's coming here.
Yeah, I do worry that there is a complacency out there that everybody just they see all the good things that Trump is doing and that Trump's getting accomplished, and so people are just hanging back, and so they don't feel the need to get out there and fight back like they used to. Good question there, Ted. Thanks for the call, John. I'll throw that to you in just a second, but. You reminded me, I got a message on our Montana Talks app. This came in from Mike, I think Mike in Missoula. And I sent him a reply back to see if any other groups are partnering with him in this endeavor. But he said that tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a group will be meeting on North Reserve Street at the Chick-fil-A parking lot in Missoula. They're going to be putting out signs and rallying to support President Trump and his agenda. Anybody that would like to come, feel free to attend. Bring your Montana and your U.S. flags. This will be a peaceful and appropriate protest to the AOC Bernie Sanders event, which is, of course, taking place at the Adams Center in Missoula tomorrow. So 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, North Reserve Street near the Chick-fil-A is where Mike says people are going to be rallying anyway. So there you go. John, your thoughts. Are people being complacent or what?
I don't care. I don't care about that at all. And I don't want to show up there and breathe oxygen into it, give more fodder for the fake news here to cover it. Just let it alone. Let it die.
Their big crazy carnival.
Yeah. Here's what I want to see. I want to see the Republican Party at least have one or two trackers, those trackers, people that put those things, to get a picture of AOC in her mom jeans with that 3-foot-wide behind that she's getting right now. and get her walking up on a stage with that thing, bopping back and forth. And we just put that up on all over X and all over Facebook.
John, your abuela would not be happy with you right now. Man, that's just wrong.
Adios, Miss Aboto.
I forgot to warn people. Yeah, whenever John's in the house, it's the most unwoke hour of the week. So I forgot. If you haven't been offended yet, you will be. So grab your pearls, clutch your pearls, and get ready.
Dude, here's the thing. That's AOC's thing, man. Communists are a dime a dozen, right? AOC's thing is that she was this cutie. She was this cutie pie, right? Well, she ain't all that cute anymore, and we need to be highlighting that.
I think that the best that anybody could do is just go. It was like what the Montana Sentinel did and what Western Montana News did when they had their stupid anti-Trump protests in Helena and Missoula and elsewhere a couple weekends ago. Just go take photographs of all the crazy. Let them have their carnival of crazy and document it. Yeah. Because what the liberal media is going to do is they're going to selectively edit everything. And they're not going to show you how crazy all this stuff really is. Because that's what it is. It's another carnival of crazy, but on a massive scale. And I don't think it helps the Montana Democrat Party. They're trying to very be disciplined in their communications to make it look like they're a different party than just got their butt spanked in November. And AOC and Bernie and, Bussy's little rich kid who's going to be on the stage, they're here to remind you that, nope, they are doubling down on crazy.
How's Bussy's kid going to be up there on the stage? I thought he had, terrible asthma and all this stuff.
I thought he can't go skiing because of climate change,
right, yeah.
But he can burn carbon to go see Bernie Sanders in his private jet, I guess.
Well, hopefully he'll have his inhaler. Maybe have his inhaler with him.
Cuckoo. Hey,
cuckoo, look at you, Mrs. Robinson.
Hey. Was that a Beatles reference?
That is Simon and Garfunkel.
Ah, okay. There we go. See, all right. See, we told you he was an old fool from the old school because he's so cool or something like that. I just butchered the song like a dad's supposed to do. Who do we got next? Mike in Kalispell. Mike, what's going on?
Yeah, hi. Tucker Carlson did a great interview with an old Congressman Kurt Weldon on 9/11, and it's really finally just, I've come to the conclusion, was a diehard Trump Republican guy, but our biggest threat isn't Russia, it's not Iran, it's not China, it's our own government. 9/11 was an inside job. Epstein was a Mossad agent. It's never going to come out because that's going to put Israel in a bad light, and we just can't have that, can we? Our government is by far our biggest threat. The bioweapons that they call a vaccination, there's so many studies now that show that this is nothing but weapons of mass destruction. Kennedy and Trump could stop this today. And why they're not stopping it today tells me one thing, that our government is our worst enemy.
Okay. John, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't agree with everything he said there, but his basic point is dead on. They are our greatest enemy. This Leviathan D.C. federal government, this 300-pound anaconda that has wrapped itself around your body and squeezing the life out of you, they are your existential threat.
Yeah, you can say whatever you want about all of the other theories, but when you look at what's going on right now, you know, who, you know, especially in the last 4 years under Joe Biden, who was funding America's enemies? Our own government. Who freed up the oil money for the socialists in Venezuela while they were sending their Tren de Aragua gang members to the reservations in Montana? Who opened up the oil money for the terrorists in Tehran? Who weaponized this government against peaceful pro-life protesters, right? And look, the more we get government out of the way, the more the American entrepreneur steps up and unleashes this economy like you have never seen before. And that's what Donald J. Trump is bringing about and restoring. We truly are. If we're about to hit our 250th birthday next year, if we want to live the next 250 years as a free republic, not democracy, republic, that's why what we do right now, we, not just him, what we do right now matters.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, John, we're getting towards the end of the hour. We really need some heartwarming news, you know, a little light story in the news, you know, something to brighten people's spirits. Share this very heartwarming story with us.
Feel-good story of the day right here, and that is Colombian pro-Hamas student Mohsen Madawi went for his citizenship meeting the other day and got picked up by ICE.
It's very heartwarming.
And they are revoking his visa, and he's going to be on the first thing smoking out of here. But dude showed up to his citizenship hearing like nothing is the matter.
No problem. No problemo. All right. It's the gift that keeps giving all year long, Clark. There you go. Once again, well, I appreciate it. I'm always glad you deliver some good news, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the hard-hitting commentary is great, but, you know, a nice, light, refreshing story at the end of the show. It's always great. Always makes the show.
Akbar.
Let's go to Jerry in Hamilton. What's going on, Jerry?
Good morning, gentlemen. I got to start off with telling you how much I enjoy your show, and you guys do a great job, and I appreciate your program.
Oh, you're too kind. Thanks for listening in.
My point was on the taxes and the tax bill, with the Republicans having the majority and stuff. If they can't get anything done on taxes, I'm going to be the first one to start a crusade on replacing every damn one of them. It's crazy. And on that note, Aaron, you guys know if they don't do anything on taxes, can the governor keep them there, or can he call a special session, or? Would you guys know that?
Yeah, God, he can, but the challenge is why would you want to keep them there? Because the longer they sit there, the more of our money they figure out how to spend, and then it costs more money each day. I can't remember if it's $100,000 a day or what it costs just to do a special session, but it just seems like the longer they sit. I mean, the better question might be like, do they all need to be put in a timeout and then just save these legislative days to come back when they're ready to finally, you know, get something done with property taxes and income tax and more? Because it just seems like in the meantime, the longer they sit there, the more the spending piles up.
Yeah, that's a good point. But my initial point, if they can't do anything with a majority, I think every damn one of them need to be replaced. I appreciate the time. You guys have a good day.
Hey, you too, Jerry. Thanks for listening in Hamilton. Great to hear your call. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a great Clint Eastwood movie, The Outlaw Josie Wales. I'm sure you've seen it, where he had the classic line in there where they were talking about forgetting all the atrocities of the Civil War. And Clint just looked up and said, you know there ain't no forgetting. And I can tell you right now, I've got it memorialized. on my X feed, and I know Kat does, and I know a bunch of other national social media people have it memorialized. And when it comes around next year for re-election, gentlemen, that means all of you nasty nine and all of you people in the House that were voting for these driver's licenses for illegals, they ain't gonna be no forgetting.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, is, again, we still got to go back to judicial reform, and we got to go back to Supreme Court candidates. And that's the other thing here. I'm not trying to tell people, hey, don't hold elected officials accountable. What I'm also saying, though, is don't take your eye off the ball, the importance of judicial reform. Because no matter what camp you fall into, no matter whether you call yourself a Freedom Caucus member or a Solutions Caucus member or a No Caucus member, because you just, you know, you don't want to be a part of a caucus, and you kind of like a little bit of what this guy says, a little bit of what that guy says. Look, at the end of the day, they're going to throw all your work in the trash can. When you guys finally do come and unite together around issues of importance, like protecting girls' sports, protecting girls' locker rooms, you're going to see like what happened with that judge in Missoula. He's pushing his personal agenda. He's an LGBTQ judge pushing the LGBTQ agenda and throwing everything you did, the whole process, in the trash can because of his own personal political bias. A gay man judge ruling that men have a right to privacy that's more important than women's right to privacy. It's like, dude, do you hate women that much?
You knew when they passed that law. You're like, okay, here comes the block in 3, 2, 1. And you're saying about, you know, let's remember the overall goal. Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're a basketball coach and you're coaching Michael Jordan or whoever, and Michael Jordan comes up and slaps you in the face as the coach, well, guess what, Mike? You're off the team. Okay, and I don't care if we lose this game, and I don't care if we lose next season. I'm not tolerating a player slapping me in the face. You're out of here. That's my attitude with these rhinos and these Democrat collaborators.
Let's go to Paul in Bozeman. Paul, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Aaron, I want to stir up a little fighting spirit amongst the taxpayers.
I don't think you have to stir them up. I think they're pissed, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's unrealized value that we're being taxed on in property. That means somebody's set the value of your property, but you haven't had any benefit from selling, but you're still paying as though you did. That's not right. Absolutely not right.
Yeah, it's a tax on unrealized gains. That's what our property tax system is right now. John, I would add that even if the legislature finally does get their act together and deliver property tax relief, we still need a citizen-led effort to stop taxing people based off of the value of their home. We still need a system like that, if you ask me.
The reason they all love it is it's a sneaky way to keep taxing you. They are doing that in the reddest counties and the reddest states all over the country. Now, Republicans are doing it.
But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is looking to do away with it altogether in Florida.
Man, you see him out there today, he's pissed at their legislature. You gotta check that out.
Oh, interesting. All right. John, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for making it a great show.